Bringing you everything under the Disney umbrella. Network 1901.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Lipstick and Lightsabers. I am Shannon.
And I'm Alex.
And today we have kind of a mixed bag type of episode. We're going to be talking a lot about books, a lot about some speculatory things. I'm going to go ahead and warn you guys, if you're wanting to avoid speculation or spoilers at all, Alex and I have seen a couple of leaks, not really anything recently.
No, I think there's one thing specifically we read in an article about the Black Spire book that might be a little spoilery, but we can give a warning if we're going to mention it.
Yeah, definitely. But we got so much news from San Diego Comic-Con, especially where the books are concerned. So we're going to be going into all of that. We're going to be doing some speculation, some prediction-y things for episode 9. But we are actually going to start out with some reviews of some things that we've been reading. So Alex and I have both read the new Finn comic, Phasma comic, and Alphabet Squadron. So we are going to talk about those a little bit. So do you want to start with Finn?
Yeah, so typically I don't buy comics. I take them out from the library. But this new run of Age of Resistance really got my attention. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go support this comic. I'm going to go buy all these issues because I'm so invested in the sequel trilogy. And I feel like it'll be a good lead up to episode 9. And I'm like, you know, like, this is the comic series leading up to episode 9. I need to own it. And like, and it gets expensive, but this is one run, right? And then we get a bunch of announcements about more runs. So that's, we'll talk about that later.
Just but, like, sucked us in, right?
But it's like, oh, you're getting more of my money now. Okay. So I'm going to start with talking about the Finn comic. So I'm going to read the Marvel.com like little synopsis here. A little rebellion. Before he was a rebel hero, Finn had another calling. He was a janitor. But how could this lead FN-2187 to question everything? How much action can someone see mopping floors and dealing with a pest problem? It turns out, a whole lot.
I really love that in this comic. So, like, out of the two comics, I liked Phasma more than Finn. But I really like, yeah, Finn is just such, like, a good boy. He's just very precious, and you get to see him, you know, in this like janitorial role that we haven't really seen before. And I like that he has so much of a personality already. Like, we see him like fighting off pretend bad guys with his mop, and like Kylo Ren walks by, and it brings up a lot of questions for like how the stormtroopers are kind of treated within the First Order, because we get a little bit of that in Phasma, but just seeing how much of a personality that Finn has kind of in regards to everybody else, like, I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, but I would even compare it to like the Clone Wars and how much we see personalities shine out with those clones. And I mean, I know
that's
Finn,
true.
Like, they're not even clones. They're very, very individual people. I mean, the whole Clone Wars as a series kind of shows us how individual all the clones are. But here, you really see how much Finn is just, like, himself, his own person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he wants to help. Like, in this comic, there's a little bit of a pest problem, and Finn doesn't want to destroy them. Like, he wants to try to help them. And it's really cute, and I wonder how we'll see that kind of tie into episode 9, because the Finn that we meet at the beginning of The Force Awakens is very much, this is a bad place, I just want out of this bad place. So that'll be really cool to see that come back.
Well, it's interesting how maybe in this comic, he knows what bad place this is for these pests, quote unquote, and he wants to get them out. He wants to give them a better life.
Oh, that could be hinting at some things to come.
Yes.
Which, and I think we get more hints.
In the Phasma comic, yeah.
Yeah. So this synopsis also came off of Marvel.com, right?
Yeah.
So this is for Phasma. Another gun. Stormtroopers don't get a name. They are simply a tool of the Empire. But Phasma has a name, and one young soldier wants what she has. One stormtrooper has ambition, and this ambition is on a collision course with Captain Phasma. So this comic was really interesting.
Oh, it was very, very, very interesting. Both of us, I think, were kind of screaming speculation about a stormtrooper rebellion just because of this one comic, this one issue.
Yeah, just like the first thing that struck me about this comic was that Phasma takes her helmet off in front of this one stormtrooper. So we have a stormtrooper who's just very fascinated with Phasma because Phasma has a name and she wants to be her. And Phasma takes her under her wing a little bit. And for anybody who's read, like, the Phasma novel, like, not very many people would ever see her face even in that. She was always masked, and she's always got a plan. She's always doing something. It's to further her own goals, not necessarily, like, the First Order or whoever she's working with, but she's always, like, one step ahead of everybody, which I thought was really fascinating because she reveals herself to the stormtrooper, and then, spoilers for the comic, the stormtrooper ends up dying. So yeah. I wonder if even then she knew.
Well, there's this one conversation that they have where Phasma says, "Do you have ambition?" And the stormtrooper says, "Yes, I have ambition." And then Phasma says, "Ambition is not a bad thing, so long as it doesn't get in the way of your usefulness." Which this comic just, it's all about how the troopers are just expendable. That's entirely what it's about.
Yeah, they're just numbers. And that was such a big thing in the Empire, like the wastefulness. You see that a lot in Lost Stars. Like all of these lives to the Empire are just waste. Like they're expendable because as long as it furthers the machine, that's all that matters. And Phasma definitely has that mentality, and the First Order has that mentality as well. And it kind of made us think of a prophecy from Master and Apprentice when it talks about the sins to the nameless. And a lot of people have speculated that that's the clones. And I'm wondering if that's more hints to a stormtrooper rebellion.
Yeah, and I mean, bit of a spoiler warning for this issue of the comic, but our main stormtrooper in the story does turn on Phasma and calls her a traitor and tries to kill her. And obviously she doesn't succeed, but I think that some of those stormtroopers already have it wired that they're in this like regime and it's not right and that they should fight back.
Yeah, which is really, really interesting. And I wonder if it has to do with, you know, there's a lot of programming and propaganda that has gone into these First Order stormtroopers. And they're very much about, like, fighting within your unit and, like, furthering the First Order. Whether you realize that, like, this is a bad place and you don't want to be there, or you see that there are bad people within it. Like, you see that with Cardinal. Cardinal's obsessed with taking Phasma down. He doesn't necessarily see the First Order as bad quite yet, but he sees Phasma as a bad person. But and that's reflected back out.
Yeah, I think, but the common traits between Cardinal and then the stormtrooper is that both of them are on their own trying to fight back, where I think truly the only way that they're going to beat it is together as a group.
Yeah. Yeah. And if we have Finn, who's kind of inspired to rescue some pests from the First Order, he could definitely be inspired to liberate his, you know, brothers in arms.
And I think that they're more willing to listen to someone who used to be in their shoes.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and there's all these deleted scenes from The Last Jedi with Finn and the other stormtroopers. Like, not just the one where we see, like, him kind of inciting a little bit of rebellion and then Phasma killing all of them. But there's also that one of just them walking through the Star Destroyer and like they're like, oh, Finn, I didn't know you got promoted, or not Finn, obviously that's not his name, but they recognize him and they're like, oh, cool, what's up, bud, you know?
But those scenes are in the novel, I think, are they?
I don't think so.
Maybe a little bit, but not fully. It's been a while since I read it.
The Last Jedi novel. At this point, I'm mostly geared for, like, the Reylo parts. When would that have happened? Phasma killing all of those other stormtroopers isn't in here, because it just skips over it. Yeah, I don't think that other one's in here either.
But it was...
So it just exists on, like, the deleted scenes.
It was on everyone's mind.
Yeah. Yeah, so that'll be really, really cool. And especially considering, I guess we can go ahead and mention this now. I mean, we got the Sith trooper reveal, and, you know, there's still white stormtroopers. So there's some kind of clear divide here, you know? It's happening. Stormtrooper rebellion.
Okay.
Is there anything else you want to say about that? Or do you want to... Oh, I guess there's more.
I was just going to say that the next issue for this series comes out on July 31st, and it's a special issue, so it's going to have stories from Haldo, Maz, BB-8. I think the one with Maz also has Han and Chewie, so it'll be interesting. I'll probably pick it up, and even if you don't read it, I'm sure we'll mention it, and then,
yeah, for sure.
And then I think the next one is Poe
and Hux. Yeah.
Next month,
yeah, and then I know that September is when we get Rose, Snoke, Rey, Kylo
all in a row,
so that'll be really exciting. Yeah, the Kylo stuff. Oh man, here we go. All right, so we're gonna talk a little bit now about Alphabet Squadron by Alexander Freed, and here is a little summary of it. This is from the inside cover. It says, on the verge of victory in a brutal war, five new Republic pilots transform from hunted to hunters in this epic Star Wars adventure. The Emperor is dead. His final weapon has been destroyed. The Imperial Army is in disarray. In the aftermath, Yurika Quell is just one of thousands of defectors from her former cause, living in a deserter shantytown. Uncertain about her place in the Republic she once fought against, she has begun to lose any hope for redemption until she is selected to join Alphabet Squadron. Cobbled together from an eclectic assortment of pilots and starfighters, the five members of Alphabet Squadron are tasked by New Republic General Hera Syndulla herself. Like Yurika, each is a talented pilot with a past full of violence and loss. Their mission? To track down and destroy the mysterious Shadow Wing, a lethal force of TIE fighters exacting bloody, merciless vengeance in the twilight of their reign. The newly formed unit embodies the heart and soul of the rebellion, ragtag, resourceful, scrappy, and emboldened by their most audacious victory in decades. But going from underdog rebels to celebrated heroes isn't as easy as it seems, and their inner demons threaten them as much as their enemies among the stars. The wayward warriors of Alphabet Squadron will have to learn to fly together to protect the new era of peace they've fought so hard to achieve.
Oh, that's so long.
I know. It's very involved, which is weird, because I also feel like in the book, not a ton of things happen.
Yeah. I felt the pacing was very slow.
Yeah.
And
I will say...
And I think that... I was going to say, because we know this is a trilogy, the pacing I've noticed with each of the trilogies that we have so far with... we have the Thrawn trilogy and then the Aftermath trilogy have been the slowest paced books that we've had. And they have that luxury because they're telling this arc over three books and the big conclusion is at the end of the third book. So our conclusion at the end of this book isn't as exciting, I guess. And it really slows it down for me too much.
Yeah, I feel like you're right about the pacing, because, the first book in their trilogies so far is just so much setup. Mm-hmm. It's so much, this is where you are in the galaxy, this is what's happening. And I kind of get it, because there's always so much happening in Star Wars, but you can also look at some standalone books that can cement you in like where we are pretty easily. So I don't know. I don't know if that's just a thing about the trilogies or what, but Alexander Freed really turned both of us off this book at Star Wars Celebration. I think we've talked about this before. He just made it sound very boring, and he didn't let me down.
Well, the thing about Celebration, what he said was that he was getting very technical, and people that liked ships and like dogfights and technicalities would really like this book, and that is completely the opposite of what we like. So I think, actually, like, to tell you the truth, a lot of the characterization that he did, I wasn't expecting, and it was better than I thought it would be.
Yeah, I was very surprised. I ended up giving this book 4 stars, and I do think it's a good read. I will never read it again.
Yeah.
I actually really liked Eureka, and I really liked Chas's story a lot. So we're introduced to the 5 members of Alphabet Squadron, which is Eureka Quell, Wile Lark. You listened to the audio, so tell me if I pronounce these wrong.
Will Lark? It's Will. It's just like Will, but it's got a different.
He threw all these Y's in here. Chasnachatic, Kairos. And then Kairos. Interesting. And then Nath Tenzint. So
yeah, that
all of
right.
these characters are, yeah, all of these characters are very different, but they all have one thing in common, and that is trauma. And a majority of this book, it's kind of split between all of the battles, and man, the first part of this book is like battle heavy, but it is offset with going into Eureka and seeing her dealing with her trauma from, like, deserting from the Empire, the fallout of Operation Cinder. We see Chas, who just wants to die. We have Will, who's trying to get back home. And that's kind of how they bond and how they come together, kind of dealing with all of that together.
Mm-hmm. And I do like how Hera kind of takes them under her wing after a while, even though she was hesitant to do so. But I think that she truly helps them get together a little bit more by the end.
I wish she was in it more, though.
Yeah.
Because the way that they sold this book was like, Hera's in it, and she's really not.
Yeah, and Hera's one of my favorite characters. So when that was announced, I got really excited. And I'm like, I can't wait for this book. But then Celebration got me off the book a little bit. And then what was the most recent book that was announced that it would have rebels in it? Oh, it was Thrawn Treason, right?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they said
season
that.
Season 4.
They said it would be taking place during the events of Rebel Season 4. So I'm like, oh, I'm not going to fall for that one again. Getting roped in by Rebels.
Well, it kind of reminded me of when they were selling Thrawn Alliance. Is that the second one?
With Padme.
With Padme. Yeah, they were like, oh, Padme's in this book. And like the first chapter, I was like, wow, this is great. And then after that, I was like, oh, that was it.
Gosh.
Okay. But I will say that as far as the characterization goes, like, Eureka was really amazing to, like, learn more about. She really fits in to, like, the type of person that Aiden is, the type of person that Sienna is, which is another reason why we really wanted to talk about this, because she was in the Empire, and she sees the events of Operation Cinder, and she was never really in it for the glory of the Empire. She's more in it for the glory of her squad. And when she finally saw the terror going on, it was like, this is just too much. Which was a breaking point for a lot of people.
Yeah. And it's just crazy how Operation Cinder is becoming so prominent since that trailer dropped. Mm-hmm. Like, at least for us, where we didn't think about it that much.
It keeps popping up, though, now that we're paying attention. It's just, it's everywhere. And the whole thing with Palpatine's contingency plan and, like, those messenger droids are in this book again, just like we saw with Battlefront. Like, this is, like, everything's coming back to Palpatine and the fall of the Empire. And, you know, we're going into the outer regions. We're going to learn a little bit more about Snoke with upcoming comics. So I'm very interested in that, like, the fact that they're bringing that all back.
And, like, talk about that scene with the messenger droid. I was, like, spooked. Like, it was, like, really eerie when I forget which character was asking the messenger droid just to please tell me, like, what's going on. And they just, like, don't answer.
Yeah, so I think is it Erica having a flashback? Let me see. Yeah, so she was, like, falling asleep and a voice had, like, roused her. It says, the messenger, it was all in red. It had the Emperor's face, a hologram of his face. It wasn't a droid so much as a ghost. It said we'd all been selected for an honor. And it just kind of breaks off and it goes back to resistance, yeah. Rebellion, defiance. These are concepts that cannot be allowed to persist. You are but one of many tools by which these ideas shall be burned away. Wow. Operation Cinder is to begin at once. Like... so creepy.
I was also going to mention the description of him being, like, a ghost just, like, takes me back to the Phantom Menace.
Yes, it's so crazy. And, like, there is a thing at the end of this book. Like, you're right, like, when there's somebody who's dying. I won't tell you who's dying because spoilers. But she's, like, pleading, like, please tell me it was worth it. And it rolls away. And that's a big question in this book is... what is Operation Cinder and why was it happening? That's something that Erica has to ask herself. Like, why would her empire do this? Why would she participate in something like this? Was it worth it? Was it all for a purpose, or was it just a madman just trying to watch the world burn? And the answers that we get are very interesting, and they're answers that I think we'll see more of as the series goes on, and then also as we get closer to episode 9. I think the only other thing in this book that I would want to talk about is Chass.
Yeah, because yeah, there's some really interesting things going on with her in her head, and that I think we've never seen before in Star Wars.
Yeah, like, she's obsessed with Jyn Erso, we find out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Jyn Erso becomes a martyr for the Rebellion. And Chass has it in her head that to make her life worthwhile, she has to die a heroic death. And she gets really upset at the beginning of this book because Will takes that opportunity from her. And that drives a wedge in their relationship for the rest of the book. And it's really amazing to see her, like, turn that over and, like, come back from that and decide, like, to help other people instead of sacrificing her life, which could amount to, like, for no reason. And just seeing her obsession with Jyn and seeing that, you know, like, she is the hero of destroying the first Death Star, not Luke Skywalker, yeah, in her eyes, which was really, really interesting.
But we wouldn't get that opportunity until now to see things like that.
Oh, of course not. Yeah.
The only thing I was thinking, because I said, you know, like, we've never seen something like this particularly, but we do see... Ben, we're not really sure if, I guess, he idolizes his grandfather, like Vader. We're not really sure exactly what he's finishing, right? But we do see that bit of a connection of him wanting to live up to something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's really interesting, where it's like, in this world of heroes, you kind of feel like you have to do something larger than life, and it kind of crushes you down like that. I found this quote where it's Chass telling her story, and she's talking about, like, seeing Jyn, like, how she'd been a martyr, she'd been a hero, and she says, that's when I knew if I met her, I could be like that too, crawl out of the gutter and do something great. She'd seen Jedha, after that, the ruined pilgrim world where Jyn's rebels had come from, to which Chass had made her own sort of pilgrimage. She'd flown with the Cavern Angels and eventually joined the Rebel Alliance, but she didn't say those things aloud. Nor did she say anything about how desperately afraid she'd been all her life before finding Jyn Erso. That's it. That's the whole story. But it wasn't even close. But it was something. Like, there's so much to this character.
It's crazy how she's saying how scared she was before she found Jyn. Like, she never found herself represented in someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Especially,
which,
like,
and I think...
I was gonna say, no. Like, all of us who see ourselves represented in certain Star Wars characters. Like, she's just like us.
Yeah, and I love that, you know, it's her seeing herself finally, like, in another woman, and like with the sequel trilogy, we've gotten so many more leading ladies, and it has really opened the door for so many women to join the Star Wars fandom. And I think you can kind of see that a little bit. So I'm really glad that we got that character, and she's a precious baby girl who likes to listen to music. And I just
it was interesting to hear about some new genres of music in the Star Wars galaxy.
Yeah, I like that there's like screamo metal in Star Wars. It's so great. I think that's it with Alphabet Squadron. What would you like say with this book? Like, would you like it? Would you recommend it? Ever read it again?
If I was going to read it again, it would be audiobook again. I definitely don't think I could sit down with the book and finish it. It's a little dense for me, even though there's those really nice character moments. But I probably will definitely audiobook the sequel when that comes out.
Yeah, I think I will too. I was tricked into buying this book because I was like, ooh, sad characters. And I don't regret having it because I did pull some really cool quotes out of it. But I do think that when the next one comes along, I'll just wait for the audiobook. Okay, but I think with that, we can finally move in to some news that we have gotten this week. And before we get into all of the craziness that was Lucasfilm Publishing at San Diego Comic-Con, we got some news about the Rise of Resistance ride coming to Galaxy's Edge. So do you want to tell us a little bit about that, Alex?
Yeah, so on July 11th, the Disney Parks blog just announced that the Rise of the Resistance attraction will finally be opening, and to all of our surprises, it's opening at Disney World before Disneyland. Which is strange because while Disney World doesn't even have Galaxy's Edge opened yet, it'll be late August when it opens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's kind of strange that I almost wonder if why they wouldn't just open them at the same time.
I don't know. I think that Disney World deals with a lot heavier holiday crowds because Walt Disney World is more of a family trip destination, where Disneyland is more of a locals destination. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if they're introducing in December to try to lower ride times on other rides like the Falcon. Because like if Disney World had to go through a holiday season with just the Falcon ride opened,
oh god,
and not another thing in the land, that could cause a lot of problems. So maybe that's the reasoning. And
that's really true.
Yeah, and I know that Disneyland has seen a bit of a drop in crowds because their annual passes have gone up so much in price.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, that makes a lot of sense, actually. And then that'll kind of tie in good, too, because in Disneyland, it'll open in January. Mm-hmm. So it'll kind of, if they're still feeling it in Disney World, that should alleviate a little bit as we go into the new year, which is crazy to think about. We'll already know the fate of Ben Solo by then.
And it's crazy to think that the Disney World ride will open before Episode 9. Right? Like,
and it's going to tie in so much.
Yeah, and I was just going to mention, we also got a poster for the ride, and it's beautiful. And Kylo Ren is front and center and is, like, huge, and the whole poster, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is the little blurb that they released with this news. So it says, when it opens, Star Wars Rise of the Resistance will blur the lines between fantasy and reality and will put guests in the middle of a climactic battle between the First Order and the Resistance. Guests will be recruited to join Rey and General Organa at a secret base. Along the way, they will be captured by a First Order Star Destroyer. With the help of some heroes of the Resistance, they break out and must escape the Star Destroyer, protect the secret base, and stay one step ahead of Kylo Ren. And, like, the idea of running away from a Kylo Ren animatronic voiced by Adam Driver, wow.
I think it's going to be some next level stuff. I haven't been on the ride at Harry Potter World and the bank? The Gringotts ride?
Yeah.
I haven't been on that, but I've been on the Hogwarts one. And I remember that years ago I was on it and how immersive that was and how they had the actors involved with that mm-hmm. and how just emotional I was riding that ride. And this is going to be just like so much more. Like I can't even think about it.
I feel like between this and the Millennium Falcon, they really wanted to take like the idea of Star Tours and bring it to like the next yeah. level and just put you just in a yeah. Star Wars story.
I think though that Rise of the Resistance will be like more tangible than that. It'll be more than just staring at a screen, because I think it'll be more things to interact with, like not touch, but like actual like props and animatronics within the ride.
I want to say that I heard that it's not a ride the whole time,
which is like insane.
You walk through some of it.
If that's true, that's just it's insane.
Yeah, I'm not prepared. I need to prepare. Yeah. Yeah, but Galaxy's Edge, like, it's doing really amazing, and like I love seeing everybody's stuff coming out of it. And I think Rise of the Resistance, I mean, one of the rides is about Han Solo and the other one's about Ben Solo. It's great.
Yes.
Those Solo boys.
So yeah, but like neither of us will be going until next year, so we'll
yeah
we'll probably,
but we'll be ready.
We'll be ready.
We'll be ready yeah. to storm it. Yeah. Take it by storm. Lipstick and lightsabers. Okay, so we're gonna get into all of the craziness that was announced at San Diego Comic-Con. There was a Lucasfilm publishing panel, and we got announcements about upcoming books and comic series. We got a big announcement from Charles Soule. But the first thing we want to talk about is we did a poll on Twitter, because we do know of a couple of, we know all of the big titles coming out between now and episode 9. And we wanted to know what you guys had to say about them. We wanted to know which ones you were most excited about. So the ones that are coming out, we've got Thrawn Treason on July 23rd, so here pretty soon, actually by the time this episode comes out, Crash of Fate on August 6th, Black Spire on August 27th, Spark of the Resistance on October 4th, Resistance Reborn on November 5th, and Force Collector November 19th. So we'll still have a little bit of time before episode 9. But what did the people of Twitter have to say about their excitement?
So the most anticipated book, according to Twitter, is Resistance Reborn by Rebecca Roanhorse.
Yeah.
I'm not really surprised, because that's, I think, no. that's the heavy hitter book that's going to come out before episode 9.
I think it's the one that they want you to think is the heavy hitter.
Very true.
Because that's the one that's going to be about Poe and Leia and Rey mm-hmm. and, you know, but
we have a dark horse.
We have a dark horse. And a lot of it has to do with, so Alex and I also ranked these, and we were bad, and we ranked them after all of the announcements. If we had done that before the announcements,
no, like the actually, poll, it would have been different. I actually voted this one before any of the announcements.
Really?
Yeah, see, like I did mine like just now. In the preliminary votes, I actually voted for it.
Wow. Yes. Okay. Interesting. So, do you want to give your list then?
Yeah.
Actually, well, so since ours are
similar,
well, let's do it at the same time. Yeah. Okay. So, our number 6 is Thrawn Treason.
No big surprise.
No shocker. Our number 5s are different though. So, what's your number 5?
My number 5 is Crash of Fate.
Crash of Fate. Yeah, which we've been hearing about Crash of Fate.
I think it would my issue is that I have heard some things about Crash of Fate, and I think if I hadn't heard those things, it would maybe be a little higher.
Interesting.
Yes.
I mean, cuz I've heard some hot takes. I am still hopeful.
Yeah.
I'm not expecting it to like blow me away. Mm-hmm. But I am still pretty hopeful for it.
I think those takes that I read will actually temper my expectations a little bit better, so I will enjoy it more than I would if I was going in fresh.
Yeah, if I was going in fresh, I would have, like, really, really high expectations mm-hmm. because Zoraida was saying a lot of stuff about, like, how she loves romance in Star Wars and we need more kissing in space, and I was, like, expecting more of a Lost Stars thing. And I think it's going to be a little bit more of a Most Wanted thing.
Mm-hmm. Which both of us love Most Wanted. So
yeah, Most Wanted's a great read. My number five is Spark of the Resistance, which this is the Justina Ireland book. Yeah. This one's middle grade. And the only reason I rank it so low is because it is middle grade. And don't get me wrong, there are some amazing middle grade books out there. I'm just not expecting it to have a whole lot of substance.
Yeah. And that's my number four. And I think I ranked it just a little bit higher than Crash of Fate because Justina is such a great author and how amazing Dread Nation is.
Yeah, I have a lot of expectations just because Dread Nation is so, so good. I think part of the reason I ranked it a little bit lower is because, like, I was really disappointed by Cobalt Squadron, which it has nothing to do with Spark of the Resistance other than that it's just a similar book.
But
like, you know, Guardians of the Wills
is great. About to say that. Guardians of the Wills is great.
Yeah. So it could be really interesting. I've definitely got my eye on that one. My number four is actually Black Spire, which the reason I rank it so low, and we did hear that if you're wanting like connections to like the backstory leading up to Tross, like Black Spire is like one of the ones that you want to read, which we kind of already knew, but I like Phasma. I liked it better the second time I read it, but it's not my favorite, and it's a little bit hard for me to get through. It was better to get through it with the audiobook. So I'm just a little bit nervous about Black Spire and how dense it's going to be.
Black Spire is actually the second most anticipated one from our Twitter polls.
Which I totally understand.
Because Delilah Dawson has a huge fan base, I think. Yes. So, and I actually have this one as my number three. And I think I'm very, very intrigued by the park and everything going on in there. And I think there's going to be some little Easter eggs thrown in there that will, the two of us who cling to things and like theorize are going to find things in this book.
Well, we already know some things from this book that are really exciting. So, which are a little bit spoilery. So that is super, really exciting. I'm just a little bit nervous because of my feelings for Phasma.
Yeah.
That's the only thing holding me back. Like, really, so I put that as number four and I put Crash of Fate as number three. Really, my excitement for them is about the same. I just put Crash of Fate higher because I like YA romance.
Yeah.
I am a romance stan first and a human second. So what about, all right, so from the here on out, our choices are the same. So what's our number two?
Resistance Reborn.
Yes.
So that one is the heavy hitter that Lucasfilm wants us to think is the heavy hitter because it's Poe is nice and large on the cover. Leia's there. Rey's there. I think, is Finn on the cover?
Rose is not in this book. She's in the Justina Ireland one.
I think Finn is on the cover, right? Or not?
I think it's just Leia.
I'm going to look at it now. No, Finn's on the cover.
Finn is on the cover. Okay.
He's the littlest one.
Remember this is the one that didn't have Rose because Justina Ireland says Rose.
So there's the Falcons on the cover and there's an X-Wing on the cover. So I wonder if that's Poe's new X-Wing, maybe?
Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So it looks like it's going to be a Poe book. And Shannon and I like Poe. We do.
We really do. But.
But.
He's better in fic.
And to be honest, I'm not the hugest fan of the Poe comics, which are probably our, like, main, the main, like, stuff we get about him outside of the movies. So I'm really hoping that this book gives me some more Poe that I want to read about.
Yeah, because, like, Poe is on Resistance, but, like,
which is my favorite Poe.
Just,
though.
Yeah, but, like, we don't get too Resistance. Much of, like, characterization from him. Mm-hmm. He's just, like, funny and he's there and it's awesome. Like, I love how he plays off with Kaz, like, what is it, Noodle Pilot? That's a show.
I think we came up with that name.
That's because he's a noodle boy. But, like, you know, he's great. It's just we need more. So hopefully this book will give us that for sure. Mm-hmm. But that leaves our number one pick as Force Collector.
Yes.
Which this one, I really think after all of the stuff that we got out of Comic-Con, like, this is going to be a pretty intense,
this is the dark
a pretty good one. Yeah.
So if anyone doesn't know about Force Collector, it's following, I believe he is a Force-sensitive individual who is going around collecting Jedi artifacts. We did get a reveal about this character at Comic-Con, which I guess we can kind of go into now about the Comic-Con announcements. This character is able to touch artifacts and objects and see the history of these things that he touches. And we know that, what's the other character who can do it?
Quinlan Vos.
Quinlan Vos can do that. And then I also heard a rumor that the main character from Fallen Order is also going to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if that's true or not.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of weird that they announced that with Fallen Order too. Well, we saw it as like somebody just like commented about it. Mm-hmm. But that just brings up a lot of interesting questions, because like, we don't really know anything about Force Collector other than this, that he's going around collecting artifacts and that he can, you know, sense things from them. And the way that that plays out in Dark Disciple with Quinlan Vos brings about a lot of interesting things that could happen in Force Collector if he finds certain things.
And the other interesting thing that was announced at this panel was that this book is going to tie in with Batu. Mm-hmm. Which I think we had already been speculating that this Force Collector character might have a relation to some characters that we already know that are a part of Batu. So when this was revealed, it was like, oh my god, I think we're right.
Yeah. So I will give a little bit of a spoiler
warning.
A little spoiler warning. Skip ahead a little bit, but we were wondering if Force Collector was going to tie in with Lor San Tekka, because, you know, we see him in The Force Awakens. There's a lot that we don't know about him, but we do know that he's a gatherer, and that plays in with some stuff from Battlefront. That's going to play in to stuff in Black Spire, and now knowing for sure that those two books are going to combine, we're going to be getting gatherer stuff, and we're going to be getting Lor San Tekka. And that's really, really fascinating.
Well, we know that, like, the leader of the Gatherers in Black Spire is childhood friends with Lor San Tekka.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, the Gatherers, are they the ones that are doing the crystals and the lightsabers?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, there's some things going on. Whether that has to do with, like, Episode 9, or if it could even tie into stuff in the future, like future of the Force and anything like that, like that would be really, really fascinating. And I'm just really here for it, because don't we learn about lore in the comics?
Yeah, slightly in Poe. I'm wondering if this guy in Force Collector is kind of almost like an assistant to Lor, and he's going off and trying to find artifacts that Lor is going to set him off to go find.
That would be really, really cool.
I don't know.
I'd be really here for that. Well, because then we could even see Jakku in this book.
Mm-hmm.
If that's, like, it could be, like, a reveal that
the
Lor
cover is very deserty.
And there's a observatory on Jakku that we learn about in Aftermath. There's a lot of Sith artifacts on this planet as well.
Yeah, but I'm wondering if he's going to be going to Jedi Temple specifically, because I don't know if it's a typo or whatever, but from what I understand is he's specifically looking for Jedi artifacts.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So, like I mentioned after this got announced, was what if he goes to Luke's temple looking for Jedi artifacts, comes across Ben Solo's calligraphy set, touches the calligraphy set, and because when he touches things, he sees the history of it, he sees Ben Solo writing the napkin bombing warning for Leia in the Bloodline book.
That would be I couldn't even handle myself if that happened. And, like, that's so many obscure details that would just come together and would make me so happy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just need it. And it's even possible if he goes to Luke's temple, like, even if it's not that we see, like, we could get the actual story of what happened that night.
Which is crazy to think, because the general public isn't going to read this book.
No.
So it's, like, it's hard for me to believe that they would do that. But then, I don't know.
There's just so many, there's so many things about this book that just makes it really, really interesting. And it's the last one to come out. Like, this one comes out the closest to episode 9. So I'm just really, something's going on here. Something's going on here, and we need to watch out for this book.
And
for
the
sure.
problem with this is that Mandalorian comes out a week before this. And Fallen Order comes out 5 days before this. So how are we going to have all the time to consume all this content?
Well, the answer to that is we'll have stuff to cover well after episode 9. Yeah. That is what's going to happen. And that's kind of interesting, too. It's kind of getting buried in there, isn't it?
Yeah. It's insane. That week's going to be crazy.
Yep. Interesting. Mm-hmm. It's almost like they're trying to distract us away from this book. All right, well, we also got just a little bit about Crash of Fate. We found out that it's going to be taking place all in one day, and it's very, like, Rebel meets The Boy Next Door.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool.
Well,
and
it was, like, mentioned that she's kind of, like, turning the classic roguish Rebel meets Girl Next Door story on its head, but, like, at this point, it doesn't really feel like it's subversion. We've seen it inverted so many times.
Well, because I would even say that, like, Han and Kira turns that on its head.
Yeah.
Because while Hana thinks that he's a smuggler or a roguish rebel, he's a good boy.
Yeah.
I mean, what this is going to give us is just more, like, setting up for Raylo in my mind.
Yeah.
Any kind of ship that you can draw those lines, I'm like, yep, that's what's happening.
I'd like this book to give me angst, but
I'm
not
angst.
Sure that angst is going to happen in 24 hours.
It could. If it does, then that'll be the best angst, but I don't know. They have a history. They grew up together. There's so much potential, but we'll just have to see.
Okay.
We'll just have to see. That leaves us with the big announcement, then, from Comic-Con.
Yes.
So, we were boo-boo.
Super
Alex was boo-boo. I guess we have to go all the way back to Celebration, where we heard a rumor that Charles Soule was going to be writing the Rise of Skywalker novelization. And it's still possible. But he kept teasing and teasing and teasing that he had this announcement going into Comic-Con. And it was not the novelization. They didn't even talk about the novelization. But we are getting The Rise of Kylo Ren, a 4-issue limited run Marvel comic.
I also want to put a little bit of a note in here before we start talking about it. It's Sunday today, and there is a Del Rey comic. Del Rey panel tonight at Comic-Con. So Charles Soule technically could still be announced as the author of the novelization, and this is coming out on Tuesday, so maybe we are double boo-boo.
We could be double boo-boo, or we could be intellectuals, but we'll have to find out. I'm still, like, in shock over the fact that this comic series got announced. I don't even know how to process this information.
I'm still processing it. When it dropped, I screamed. I messaged you. I was like, Shannon, where are you? Again, like, it always happens like this. Like, I usually see the announcement first. And I couldn't believe it. Like, we've always talked about things like this. Like, the origin of Kylo Ren. Oh, we're going to get that in a while. They're probably going to announce it in 2020, like early 2020, or maybe they're even going to leave it until Celebration. right? Mm-hmm. Because they can't talk about that stuff. It would give too much away because we need it to be a mystery for the Rise of Skywalker. Because why, like, they've kept it for a mystery this long, there must be a reason. But we're getting from Ben to Ren.
Which is exactly what Charles Soule said. Ben to Ren. Which, Brie, so when I saw this and you hear that, obviously the first thing that comes to mind is, like, this is, like, immediately, this is the rise of Kylo Ren, this is the fall of Ben Solo, we're gonna see the Knights of Ren come together, which is really, really interesting, because everybody has so many questions about, like, who are the Knights of Ren, were they more of Luke's students, like, what's going on here? But I do have some questions, because the teaser, like, art released for this has all of their episode 9 looks.
Mm-hmm. So, is that a teaser art? Is so
they said it was a teaser.
Ooh, I really liked it though.
Yeah, I did great. Really like it. But I'm like, seeing the episode 9 stuff, I'm like, is this going to be like in a lead up to episode 9, or are we seeing like their first mission, or are we seeing them coming together? I don't know. I just, like, this is the fall of Ben Solo, so that we can see mm-hmm. him rise, the rise of Skywalker. Wow, Star Wars is so good.
I have a lot of questions about this project. They really didn't say much, but
yeah,
I will have those comics in hand the day they come out. And
yes.
So they're coming out on December 17th. I think we're kind of unaware about what that means, if they're releasing one issue at a time, if that's the day that the, like, the book of them are coming out, like, the volume of it, or are they releasing them a week at a time? Like, it's confusing.
Yeah, it's really confusing, because that is, like, 2-3 days
yeah.
before.
It's coming out the Tuesday of episode 9.
Yeah. So if they're releasing them a week at a time, that could be that that's like issue 1, and then it's not going to yeah. be like as spoilery, but it'll like lead into episode 9 and mm-hmm. it'll get like spoilery in the following weeks. I don't know.
But the thing is if like I go on to my bookstore website in Canada, Indigo, there's something that says, like, classified, like, it was, like, classified road to, like, 9-something. And, like, it winds up to be this project. Mm-hmm. And my bookstore, at least, doesn't carry single-issue comics.
Right.
So that's what is confusing me.
Yeah. Like, if this is, like, a whole, if this is all 4 comics.
At once.
Ben to Ren. Like, days before the rise yeah. of Skywalker. Like, what does that
mean?
We're
gonna be losing our mind.
What does it mean? Oh my god. I just, like, Disney is just, like, really spelling it out, because, you know, we're gonna see the fall so that we can see the rise. But it's just, for so long, it's like, they can't talk about this kind of stuff because it'll spoil episode 9. And we're getting it before episode 9. And I just... What?
But so close what? To episode 9 that the majority of people who are going to read this comic probably won't read it until after episode 9, unless you're, like, in the 1% like we are, where we're going to be racing to the comic shop or digital, like, online store, buying it Tuesday morning and reading right. it right away.
Gosh, I gotta see if my bookstore carries some comics. I don't know if they carry these comics.
Well, maybe
I'll have
to
look.
You could request it. I don't know.
Oh, God, I don't know. To me, okay, so let's say that this is, like, all 4 issues, or that it is telling, like, this is Kylo Ren, like, going to the First Order. This is him going to Snoke. This is him becoming Kylo Ren. If that's the case, we really could see in Force Collector what actually happened that night, or we could see, like, hints about it, yeah. and then it actually comes to fruition in this comic. Like, they could be connected in that way.
Yeah. Wow.
Which, right? that's so fascinating, because, like, in The Last Jedi, we had it from so many different perspectives, and we did kind of see, finally, at the end, like, that was the moment when Ben Solo knew that, like, he couldn't trust his uncle anymore, and they had both kind of betrayed each other. And we just don't know what happened to the temple and, like, how it burned and what happened to all of, you know, the students there. So was that the night that Ben Solo left, and did he take people with him, or did he already go to Snoke? Was he already becoming Kylo Ren? Was that, like, a mission that Snoke gave him, like with Anakin? Like, Anakin was tasked to go kill all the younglings. Maybe Kylo Ren was tasked to go kill all of, you know, these students.
I tend to lean to the side that he wasn't tasked to kill any of the students, that they were potentially trying to defend Luke and kind of got in the way.
But yeah.
I don't know.
Well, like, I've always been in the camp that, like, the destruction of the temple was an accident.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was Ben Solo. Something happened, and he couldn't control himself, and it was, like, a tragic accident, and then he runs away, is what I've always thought.
And he's alone with just those thoughts in his head of Snoke talking to him.
Right, yeah, of those dark thoughts, and, you know, it's already been confirmed for him that he can't trust Luke, and he's learning that he's the grandson of Darth Vader, and all of that stuff could coincide. You know, we could even see the napkin bombing through this kind of stuff. Like, we're really getting into...
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Because it happens, like, that year.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So how do you feel about Charles Soule being the one doing this?
So I didn't read the Vader comics. You didn't read the Vader comics.
No, I did.
You read some of them.
No, I did.
You
did. All of them.
Yeah. You read all of them. But I saw all the stuff about Anakin and, like, the Let the Past Die and that weird issue that came out where, like, everybody was talking about it and the panels were everywhere. And that's really fascinating. And the fact that he was already drawing those parallels to Kylo Ren. So I'm here for it. I think he's going to do a really good job.
I also was thinking about the fact that potentially if that rumor about him writing the 9 novelization is true, they're keeping sensitive info about episode 9 down to the fewest amount of people possible. So they're like, oh, well, Charles is already writing the 9 novelization. So he can also, like, do this comic because he has this knowledge and we don't have to give it to someone else.
Yeah. Or even, like, vice versa. Yeah. It's like, we already gave you this comic series, so just go ahead and write the novel. Which would make a lot of sense. Like, it really, really would.
And the timeline's a little bit different, right? So he has to have those comics coming out in November.
Mm-hmm.
And then the novelization in March, I guess.
Yeah.
And he's probably already starting to write the novelization based off of scripts, but then he'll do some edits after episode 9 comes out, because that's how Jason Fry did it.
I can't. It's, wow. I just feel like everything we're getting is just, it's all hints about, like, this weirdness going on with the Force. There's a lot of stuff about the dark and the light and the balance. There's so much about the contingency plan. There's so much about Palpatine. There's so much that hints at a stormtrooper rebellion. This is stuff that, like, people have been talking about since before The Last Jedi. And that's crazy to me to see it, like, all kind of coming together. Mm-hmm. And it's actually funny to me when I hear people talk about, like, we don't know anything about episode 9. I'm like, do we, though? I think we know a lot of things about episode 9.
Mm-hmm. And I think that Charles Soule hinting that it's going to be from Ben to Ren, and in this teasing cover, the Knights of Ren are on the cover. I think it's, to me at least, teasing that those probably are the other students from Luke's temple. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which... I've always loved that theory, but I always also believed that the Knights of Ren were dead. I really subscribed to that theory of, like, Snoke made Kylo Ren kill them all.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause him being isolated and alone
is
like a really big deal for his character.
Yeah.
So like him having a bunch of like buddies doesn't really make sense.
He probably didn't necessarily have to make him kill them to keep him isolated from them if he somehow manipulated all of them in thinking that, you know, none of them are friends and they are doing things behind each other's backs, then I think that would also work.
That would be interesting. Kind of like his relationship with Hux. Because, like, if he had been friends with Hux, like, they could rule the First Order. They really could. But they were just, they're always at each other's throats.
Yeah.
So that would be interesting. I'd be here for that. Because we both subscribe to the camp, too, that the Knights of Ren are going to turn against him.
Yeah, maybe. It's so hard to say because I've seen someone else kind of theorize that we could see Rey's vision in these comics, but from Kylo's point of view. Instead of seeing, because some people have been theorizing that we're actually going to see that in episode 9.
Yeah.
So, that'll be interesting.
I would rather see it in the comics.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, because if it's in the comics, it wasn't necessarily a vision as much as it was like, so Doctor Who's really weird, right? We have a lot of timey-wimey stuff, but we have River Song and the Doctor, and they meet each other out of order. They meet each other at weird times. Some of them have more information than the other. And so we see Rey see this vision of Kylo Ren. We don't know if what she's seeing is the past or what she's seeing is the future. But if what she's seeing is the past and Kylo Ren actually sees her too, that's some weird meeting of the Force stuff, right? That's some dream theory stuff.
Yeah, and that really lends itself to that line in the Force Awakens novel where Kylo says, "It is you."
Yeah. 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 Because we've thought that since we read the book, where it's like he's seen her before. And she says that too, like in a daydream, in a nightmare. But he's older, he would kind of have more of a grasp of who this person kind of is, whereas maybe for her it was always like a feeling and more of a dream. Whereas with Ben, he would kind of know that this was some kind of Force something.
Yeah, I think so.
Showing him something.
Because of how trained he is with like the Jedi and everything, he would understand that it's more than just a dream, probably.
Could you imagine reading these comics and seeing that scene and seeing him see this girl and then becoming obsessed with this girl?
From his point of view.
From his point of view.
You know what it reminds me of? Okay, and Andy, don't listen because this is spoilers for ACOTAR and like that whole series.
Yeah.
But the painting.
Oh my god. Stop. Oh my god. Wow. Wow.
Yeah, so basically if anyone is a big fan of Reylo, you should read A Court of Thorns and Roses series. It's very interesting.
Yes. It's very interesting. It's very interesting. That was like the first thing that I made Alex read. Like, wow, you like Reylo? Have you read these books?
Yeah. And Andy from the Reylo Alliance is reading the books right now. And so I know I don't want to spoil it for her because she's going to enjoy that.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that was such a great reveal. It's such a great reveal. Wow. Okay. Yeah. So these comics are going to be really interesting. And I will be really disappointed if it doesn't have anything, but I don't see how it couldn't have at least something.
I think it's going to be very spoilery just because of that date, December 17th. Yeah.
But at this point, like, spoilery for what? Because I think it's very obvious that Ben Solo is going to be redeemed. Yeah. So to me, that's not even like a spoiler.
Like we've been saying, maybe the connection between them. I don't know.
If Dream Theory is canon, I don't know what I will do with myself.
Because I can see why they wouldn't want the fandom to necessarily stew on Dream Theory for a long time.
Oh, yeah. So because look how long the Raylos have stewed on it. Like,
I think they're, like, they really, like, we saw it in Vanity Fair, the will they or won't they aspect of Raylo. It really has people hooked. It's what, mm-hmm. like, has all of us on the edge of our seat. And I think Dream Theory is, like, fuels the fire.
There is a place. Oh, gosh. Yeah, because that just brings up so many other things, too. Because, like, if we're getting into Dream Theory, you could even get into that whole, like, out beyond the ideas of right and wrong, there is a place. Because if there is a place, that could be the world between worlds. That could be some kind of dreamscape. Yeah. I'm reading a book right now where they're enemies right now, but it's totally enemies to lovers. They meet at a dreamscape so many times. And every time it happens, I'm like, Alex needs to read this mm-hmm. book. Alex needs to read this book.
Okay, I'll put it on my want to read pile.
yeah, because the second it happened, I was like, ooh, intrigue. This is kind of Raylo, and it keeps happening. And now, I'm halfway through the book, and something interesting has happened, and I'm like, ooh, interesting. I'm ready to see where this is going to go. It's a very long audiobook. It's 17 hours, but it's great. It's great. And Raylo is just so good. Wow.
Yeah. Here was our Raylo tangent for today.
There's our Raylo tangent for the day. So do you have any last thoughts before we move into Little Bebos?
Yeah, so we're planning on revisiting our ranking list of all the books after we read Force Collector, because that's the last one on this, like, short list. And I think we're going to compare to see how our actual rankings rank. I think both of us are going to be buying all of the books except for Thrawn Treason, which I think we'll both audiobook from the library. Yeah. So we're going to consume all of them, and we'll let you guys know how we like them.
Yeah. We'll see with Thrawn, because my library is really weird, and sometimes it's hard for me to get new audiobooks really quickly. Mm-hmm. So... Well, I might have to, like, go into Audible or something weird. But
well, they might get it by November, right? By the time that we
hopefully
we'll see. We'll
see what they do. I'll have to really mm-hmm. keep an eye on it, since I know that it comes out soon. I can keep an eye on my library for sure, because there's no way I can read a physical copy of this book. There's no way. I can't do it. All right, so with that, let's go into our Little Bebos. So would you like to refresh us on what Little Bebos are?
Yeah, Little Bebos are little things that we find intriguing or we're really excited about or we love within the topic of the episode.
Yes. So my Little Bebo this week is something that we touched on briefly. So it's that Chass in Alphabet Squadron listens to music while she flies. And I just really love that she'll just, like, crank the music really, really loud. She can't hear anything else. And she will fly to the beats of the music. And I really love this moment of, like, pure joy for Chass. Because, mm-hmm. like, she's in such a hard place. And she's dealing with some, like, really serious depression. She's dealing with this really serious issues of, like, you know, wanting to die and thinking her life is worthless. But in that moment, when she's flying and she's listening to music, like, she's fully in the moment and she's really happy, and it breaks my heart, and I love it. It's great.
Yeah. I love that, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think my Little Bebo is all the stuff we found out about Force Collector. I'm really, really looking forward to Force Collector as a book. It's, usually... I'll be honest, I don't look forward to the non-romancy books as much as the romantic ones. So mm-hmm. it's weird that I put Crash of Fate a little bit lower, but I'm really, really looking forward to Force Collector. It's by an author that I've never read any of his stuff before, so that'll be interesting too. And I think we're in for maybe a sad boy. I don't know.
I hope we get a sad boy. Sad boy is, like, on par with romance, because romance can go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Sad boys are hard to go wrong, you know. So that's pretty reliable.
Yeah. And you never know, Black Spire could have a little bit of romance in it too with Vi and Cardinal.
Yes. Yes. And that's actually really interesting. Other than Crash of Fate and maybe a little bit of Black Spire, we don't really have a lot of romance going on. Which is not super out of the ordinary.
So Spark of Resistance has Rose in it, but doesn't have Finn in it, correct?
Yeah.
So then we're not even getting it there.
We're getting so much Poe.
Lots of Poe. Because I think it's just set up for him to be the leader. Even though, like, we do see that in The Last Jedi, I think it's even more set up.
Interesting. I just want, if Rose and Rey don't have, like, awesome conversations, I'm gonna be sad.
I think Justina will do it. I'm excited.
I hope so. Mm-hmm. She does female friendships so good. Mm-hmm. Like, especially coming back from, Rose was really jealous of Rey in the Last Jedi novelization, which that's gotten a lot of hate, but Jason has kind of come out and talked about, you know, why he did certain things. If you've read Dread Nation, you'll know that, like, the two main characters in that book do not start off liking each other at all, and they come together in a really interesting way, and that's not where Rose and Rey are at, but Justina does that type of dynamic really well, so I'm excited for it. I wish that this was a YA book, though, because she could do more. Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Not that you can't do a lot with middle grade. Like, I've read some great middle grade books, but I want more. I want some darkness.
Our YA within those three is Force Collector. That one's our YA.
I think so.
Interesting. Maybe we will get that sad boy.
I want some sad boy. I need some angst real bad. But we'll just have to see. So we would love to hear from you guys. So we already heard, like, if you voted in our poll, awesome. But go ahead and let us know what you are most excited about book-wise. Mm-hmm. Maybe your thoughts have changed since hearing about more of these books. But it's going to be an exciting couple of months going into The Rise of Skywalker. We're going to be giving so much. We are in such a drought right now. But, man, once September gets here and we get those Rey and Kylo books, like, it's gonna just, because then we get Force Friday and then we're getting more books and just, wow.
So I think we're undecided about what we're gonna talk about next week. So if you have anything really specific that you'd love to hear us discuss, I think sending us a tweet would be a really good idea. Or else we'll do something else that we have on our list of ideas. And then the episode after that, we'll probably touch on Crash of Fate and the Myths and Fables, right?
Yeah, they come out the same day. Yeah, it's going to be exciting. There's going to be dragons. All right, well, that's going to do it for this episode of Lipstick and Lightsabers. So this was one of our discussion episodes. If you want to be part of our story episodes that we do every Friday, you can always send us your Star Wars story at lipsticklightsabers1901@gmail.com. There will be a prompt with some questions on our website. There's also a prompt in the description of every single one of our podcasts. You can find us on Twitter always. I am at Carter Shannon and Alex is at Alex Leonis. But for now, that'll do it for today, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.